This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We have been talking about life in the kingdom and how important for you to realize that God has a way of meeting and supplying every need in your life. He is your supply house. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, I'll begin at verse 25 again. He says, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought, concern, or worry for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now, that's a very bold statement. He says, don't become anxious or full of care about, you know, your clothing, your food, your water. Now, you know, if he's going to say something like that, there is a way that you and I will be able to make sure that these needs are met. "Behold the fowls of the air. They don't even sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" In other words, God says, I take care of the birds of the air. You're better than the birds of the air. I will take care of you. How many of you believe that? I will take care of you. Now, I'm setting you up like a mullet tonight because I want you to examine, you know, what you say you believe. He goes on and he says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for your clothes, your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you?" He says, I will feed you, I will clothe you. But he says, here's the problem that some will have: no faith. O ye of little faith. And then he goes here and he says, "Therefore, take no worry or thought," or don't be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Your heavenly Father, he knows that you have need of all these things. It's not a secret to God. He knows what your needs are, and he knows that you have need of all these things. But listen, there is still the proper order in getting it done. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you need shall be added unto you." The Amplified says, seek God's way of doing things and being right. Seek God's way of doing things and being right, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, in the world's way of doing things, the world has a way of dealing with sickness and disease through medicine. The world has a way of dealing with your finances through banks and credit unions and all that. The world has a way of dealing with emotional issues through psychology. The world has a way of doing that. But God has a way of meeting your financial needs, a way of dealing with your emotions, a way of dealing with your physical body. Now, here's the deal. Somebody says, well, you know, what's the deal? I mean, why should I have to change systems? Well, what will happen if over here in the system of the world things begin to crumble, or you get diagnosed with something, they don't have a cure, or you don't qualify for a certain aid from a financial institution? What happens then? What happens when the world's ways of doing things are no longer available to you, or they're not working? You see, God's ways of doing things will be greater and higher than the world's way of doing things. But if you find that you have built more trust in the world's way of doing things, and you have little to no trust in God's way of doing things, that's going to be where you find the dilemma. And ladies and gentlemen, if the kingdom of God is going to work, if you're going to reap from the kingdom, pay attention to what he says in verse 33. You're going to have to seek the kingdom first. You have to make the kingdom priority. You have to make the kingdom priority, and you will demonstrate that because you begin to rely on the kingdom. You begin to lean on the kingdom. You begin to trust the kingdom. It's so easy for somebody to say, oh, yes, I put the kingdom first. Well, when the kingdom is first in your life, it carries weight. It weighs in. You honor that way of doing things. We've gotten so used to just doing things by the way of the world that we've completely counted out that God has a way of doing things. And so I want to jack your faith up tonight. I had an experience last night in Philadelphia that got me just really stirred up. I was there in the congregation, and I was like, Lord, I can't leave this congregation, even though I know I'm going to get home real late. I can't leave them, because when I asked them, did they believe, I saw a percentage of them shake their heads. No, I don't believe. And I hadn't seen that in a long time. And there's no way I'm going to walk out of a church where you got some folks who say, I used to believe, but I don't believe anymore. Oh, my God, I went at them with everything I had, praise God. And before I left there, they were all believing, praise God. Because there's something about getting in the presence of the Word of God that'll jack your faith up, amen? I have divorced the world's way of doing things. I am completely and totally submitted to God's way of doing things. I'm not mixing systems. I tried that too. What I do know is that when I do it God's way, it works every time. And here's how God's way works. You get a seed, get the Word. The word of God is your seed. Get the Word of God. When you have a problem, when you have a diagnosis in your body, when you have a lack, the first thing you do as a Christian is you go to the Word. This is no longer a book, it's the bag of seed. The Bible calls the Word of God incorruptible seed. Why is it incorruptible seed? Because it's seed that'll always work. It's seed that'll never fail. So anytime a problem happens, the first thing we do is go to the Word. We get our bag of seed, praise God. We find out what the Word has to say about our situation. We take that Word as our seed. Then the second thing we do is we take that Word, and seed's got to be planted in order for it to grow, amen? And we take that Word and we put it in our mouth. And when we say we plant, and when we say we plant, and when we say we plant, we're calling things that be not as though they were. And when we say we plant, and when we meditate on that Word day and night, we plant. And when we hear that Word, faith cometh by hearing. So those are the three entrances into your ground, through your eye gate, through your ear gate, and out of your mouth. And when you say it, you're planting it in your heart. When you're meditating on it, you're planting it in your heart. When you're hearing the Word, you're planting it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Take the seed from the Word, plant it in your heart, through your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth. Now, once it's planted in your heart, notice something here. Go to Mark right quick. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I just thought of something. Verse 20. And this is not what I'm preaching about, so I need to hurry and finish this foundation so I can get started with my sermon. I'm just so fired up over this foundation, I figure we ought to talk about it every time we come in here, amen? Mark chapter 4, verse 20. He says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as, watch this, they hear the Word, and they receive the Word, then they bring forth fruit. They hear the Word. The sower soweth the Word. I'm sowing the Word right now. You're hearing the Word. All right, now what you have to do, you've gone to the Word, you are planting that Word in your heart. Here's what you've got to do. You got to receive it. All right, to receive means you take possession of, as in ownership. You've received the Word. I say to you, the Bible says that by His stripes you're healed. To receive that Word, you say, I'm healed. You don't say, I'm going to be healed. I might be healed. One of these days I'm going to be healed. No, no, no. Faith goes ahead and agrees with God right now, today, present tense. I am healed right now. See, whatever you're trying to get from God, He's already done it. Whatever you're trying to get from God, He's already done it. You're trying to get healed, He's already healed you. You're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed protecting your health from sickness and disease. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the stuff we came up with, amen? Before we got deep and start trying to be, emotional coach to everybody, this is the stuff we came up with. When we didn't know what to do, we had nothing but the Word. Some of us were so broke, I mean, we couldn't afford to be poor. I mean, we had nothing but the Word. And we took this Word and we said, all right, God, I ain't got nothing else to look at. I have no other sources. I don't have any other options. Now we got all kinds of options, but eliminate the option and get back to the only option that's going to really be able to help you, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the kingdom of God. Amen? I'm excited tonight, praise God. Receive the word means that you possess it. Now, you're trying to possess that word long enough to cause conception. Receive, hear the word, receive the word, conceive the word. Now you got a holy thing in you, and then bring forth fruit. That's the kingdom way. Problem happens, I go to the word, get some seed. I receive it as an ownership, it's mine. I meditate on it so much that I conceive it, like get pregnant with it. I got the holy thing in me, you can't see it yet, but keep watching. Then I give birth to it and I bring forth fruit. That's with everything. That's with healing in your body. That's with your relationships. That's with your finances. That's how the kingdom operates. It doesn't operate by sitting there hoping and praying, God might do something, please Jesus help me. It doesn't work because you cried all night long. It works because you got the word, you deposited it on the inside of you, you possessed it as an ownership, you hung around it so much you got pregnant with it, the holy thing was in you, and then one day you gave birth to it in your life, and you begin to reap a harvest as a result of it. Amen? Now, here's my question. There's one thing that'll absolutely stop the kingdom of God from operating. Unbelief. Unbelief. I'm going to talk to you about your believing tonight. I want to talk to you about the ignition of the kingdom. The thing that turns it on is that, yeah, many in here will say, yes, I believe. But do you really? Because the word works. And anytime you hear bad news and you wonder, well, what happened? The word works. If any time in your life is not working, don't blame God. Don't blame the word. Something you not doing. Because the word works. I'm qualified to preach this. I've been doing this for 30 years. The word works. Say that with me. The word works if you work it. Say it again. The word works if you work it. Say it again. The word works if you work it. Hallelujah. I'm slow to start here tonight. I was looking over these scriptures and couldn't keep the tears from falling out my eyes. Because he made it so simple. Now, watch this. Let's go to Daniel 3. Let's start there. In fact, let's start in Matthew 20. You know I'm all over the place. Matthew 21. I'm going to try to give you your hour of power tonight, but I don't know about tonight. You might have to use your little finger tonight, praise the Lord. Because I came here expecting something tonight. I don't think y'all understand me. I didn't come here for a Bible study class as we normally have. I came here expecting to receive something. I came here believing for you that something is so gonna happen to you to such a point that your life gonna turn around. It's gonna turn around tonight. It's gonna turn around tonight. I believe it's going to be a serious impartation tonight. There, some things have to be implanted. All right, now watch this. Matthew 21. Let's look at verse 28 through 32 again. This is the parable of two sons. Jesus begins, he says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and he went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which one did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. That's a strong word. Why? He said in verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. Underline that. And you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, underline believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards that you might believe him. Listen to this. Sounds to me, ladies and gentlemen, that if we don't believe, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Believe. They believed, and they'll enter in. What a simple thing, I think, or we think. Because everybody in here would say, oh, I believe. The difference was they didn't believe, and the other ones did. The publicans and the harlots did. And I don't want you to be cute little church people coming to church not believing. But today in the church, we have a believing problem. Now, there's really no such thing as non-belief. You believe something. So it's unbelief. And I conclude that a lot of believers are not believing. And so they don't have access into the kingdom of God because it's become so traditional, they don't even believe it. Let's work on that believing tonight. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Read an old familiar story here, a part of it. I want to make sure I do this all night too. Say this out loud. I believe.
I believe.
Hallelujah. Daniel 3. How many of you need physical healing in your body tonight? Raise your hands. All right, say, I believe.
I believe.
How many of you need a job? Raise your hands. Say, I believe.
I believe.
How many of you need some money to pay your bills off? All right, now watch this. How many of you don't need none of that? Something going on. The next time I ask those questions, I'm gonna believe God. Don't nobody raise a hand. Because there's too much power available for all these hands to be going up. And I couldn't even see the other churches. Some of y'all, we glad, Pastor. But I got somebody there watching. They'll let me know they were counting. And now look at this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 26. This is the whole issue with the fiery furnace. And you know the story there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man showing up in the fire. I'll start at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire, furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Fire had no power. Didn't have no power on them, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You know, when you barbecue, you smell fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel. Watch this. And he delivered his servants that trusted in him.
He just didn't show up and deliver them. There was a reason why he was able to deliver them. There was a reason why benefit from the supply that came from the kingdom. He trusted in him. They trusted in him. Threw him in the fire. Didn't get burned because they trusted in him. Trust is an expression of your commitment. Trust encompasses here, when they talk about they trusted him, they relied on him, they leaned on him. If you'll read the whole story, they were relying on him before they got thrown in the fiery furnace. They say stuff like, you can throw us in the fire, but we're still not going to bow down and serve that God. And they said stuff like, even if our God don't show up, they said, we know he will. To them, it was impossible for God not to show up. To most people, they're struggling to see if he gonna show up. See, I got to get you in a place where it's impossible to you for God not to meet your need, not to heal your body, not to do that stuff. We got to switch some things around.
Shout, I believe. That's right, baby. To trust, believe in, to rely on, to lean on. The kingdom, you will not reap from the kingdom without believing, relying, trusting, and leaning on God. The Bible even says, I'll show you in a moment, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
So this is the issue. Not the issue of,
oh, well, I know about the kingdom, and praise the Lord. I heard that when Pastor preached it the last time, and oh, I got that book, and I
ain't talking about all that. Do you believe it? You came in here tonight. You believe that that chair had the ability to support you. All right, how do I know you believe that? You sitting down right now. You didn't sit down. You did not even think about that chair. Not, it was ridiculous for you to think that the chair would. If the chair collapsed, it would have surprised you. You didn't sit down like,
oh, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus. You didn't do that. And yet when it comes to trusting God for your provisions, trusting God for your deliverance, trusting God for your healing, you got to get all churchy with God.
See, I believe. Look at Hebrews 11 and 6. Now let's go to work. Hebrews 11 and 6. All week as I read the Bible, I'd pause and ask myself, do you believe this? You believe this? Something about belief that's going to have fruit following. I want to make sure you hadn't gotten seduced by religion and forgot about the Savior. Hebrews 11, verse 6, let's read it out loud together, ready to read. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists, that he exists. This question of, well, what if God ain't real? Boy, you in trouble. Stuff ain't gonna work for you. You ain't even settled that yet. I believe that he is. And because I believe that he is, I also believe that he's a rewarder of my diligent seeking him. I'm not wasting my time because I believe. When I pray, I believe. When I read the Bible, I believe. When I spend my time living a holy life, I believe. I'm not wasting my time when I do that. Why? Because I believe. Come on, let's work on this. Romans 4. Romans 4:17. Only believe. All things are possible if you believe. The criteria for the kingdom operating in your life, believe. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even God calls things that be not as though they were. You see that? Even God calls things that be not as though they were. I said, even God calls things that be not as though they were. All right, now here's what I want you to do. Whatever is not right now, you raise your hand for one of those things. Whatever is not, you know, you don't have the physical manifestation of your health or your healing. Whatever is not, I want you to call it so right now. In other words, if you're sick tonight, I want you to say, I'm healed. If you're in lack tonight, I want you to say, I have more than enough. You follow what I'm saying? Call the thing that be not as though it were. Ready? Call it. All right. Okay. All right. Let me ask you a question. What you just said, you believe it? No, don't answer me because I'm going somewhere. You might get butchered tonight. Don't do that. Just think with me. I know what you just said. You heard what you just said. But there's a difference between a parrot talking and a human being. A parrot has a soul and a body. Through training, he can learn certain things. But a man is a spirit being. He possesses a soul, he lives in a body, and he's the only creation of God that's been given the authority to speak words and see them come to pass. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a parrot? Now, you can go around and say, I'm healed, and you can go around and say, I'm prosperous, and you did all day long. And the enemy's job is to put pressure on you to see if he can test whether or not you can believe it. God doesn't need to issue a test. He already knows. The enemy wants to test to see what you really got. Now, watch this. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what believe means. It means to be fully persuaded. That when I believe something, I am fully persuaded. That when I believe something, I am not going to stagger. That when I believe something, once I call the thing that be not as though it were, and I've got the word on it, and I'm meditating on it, I'm not changing. Come hell or high waters, this is what I believe. This is what I'm standing on. I trust it. I am committed to it. Trust is an expression of your commitment. I'm committed to this thing. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what they say. I don't participate in recessions. I'm not afraid of an inflation. I don't abide in lack. Look at Mark 11. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Something good's gonna happen to you. You're gonna be glad you came to this Bible study tonight. All I'm doing is stirring you up, and you already got it in you. I'm taking a big spoon right now, and I'm just stirring. You know how sometimes the good stuff can get to the bottom. You seen orange juice, and you sit, let orange juice sit there, and all of the stuff go to, you just need to shake it up. All I'm doing is shaking you up a little bit. Now, don't act surprised now when the fruit comes. This church will not to the changes of our society. We operate on a higher law. We operate by the kingdom. Our bills are paid. We're out of debt. Needs are met. We got plenty more to put in store. But I'm not going to be satisfied till everybody in here. Y'all, I done told you it's going to look like I lost my mind. We there. I will not. I ain't selling it for nobody sick. You're not supposed to die. You ain't dying. Well, the Lord might want you to. No, he don't. He already made it very clear in his will. With long life will I satisfy you. You're not supposed to go somewhere until you're ready. The day I get ready to go, I'm going to put the very suit on I want to be buried in, and then I'm going to lay down. I'm not going to die with no hospital gown on, having my tail all hanging out. I'm going to die sharp. Because he's already told me his will. And anything else is not his will, and I rebel against anything else that doesn't line up with the word of God. Somebody shout, I believe.
I believe.
Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm trying. I gotta make it through this. I gotta make it through this. I gotta get through this. Oh, Jesus, where you at? Mark 11. Y'all pray for me now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You have been deceived long enough. Your mind been played with long enough. You've been played church games long enough. It is time to prove to this wicked world that the power of the Holy Ghost is still available. It is still working for anybody that will believe. But you got to go back to the original description, peculiar people. Some of y'all ain't peculiar enough. Too many people in the world understand you. Mark 11. Whew, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Verse 20. And in the morning, Jesus had just come by a fig tree. And he thought the fig tree would have figs on it because it had leaves on it. And when he got up close to it and he saw no figs, he said, no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter. And the Bible says, and the disciples heard him. About 24 hours have come and gone. They went past the tree again in the morning. And look what they saw here, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. 24-hour results. And the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I've gone to my Father. The grace of God, I can't wait to teach this. The grace of God, that it is unmerited favor. It is God's willingness to get involved in our stuff. But the grace of God is not just fire insurance. The grace of God is an empowerment that has been freely given to you. The grace of God is an anointing. It is the abilities that Jesus enjoyed. Now you're graced with those same abilities to walk on this earth like he walked on this earth, but you don't have access to this grace without faith. And this empowerment of grace is embodied or invested in the word. You have the liberty and the freedom to have on you what Jesus had on him. 24-hour results. Now, I've had some things that happen quick. 2 days, a week, I'm working on that 24. All right, now watch this. And Peter, calling to remembrance, because he heard it, you know, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which was cursed is withered away. And they asked him, how did he do it? And Jesus answered. Somebody said, how do you know he asked? Because the Bible says, and Jesus answered. You don't answer nothing unless somebody asks you something. And Jesus answered, said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now this got my attention. You know, somebody usually, you know, say, well, he wasn't talking about a literal mountain. Well, I believe he was talking literally. I believe because they were talking about a literal fig tree. He spoke to a real fig tree. And they saw that tree dry up. How'd you do it? Have faith in God. He said, now, if you were to say and saw that mountain, if you were to say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea. Now, isn't that something? The sea is the only thing that has the ability to swallow the whole mountain up, to disintegrate it and cause it to disappear. Some of y'all got mountain problems in your life, and you have the power to get rid of it, to cause it to disintegrate and disappear. And you still letting your mountain of your great-granddaddy and his daddy still stay in your life because you didn't think you had the power to move it. And I'm telling you that whatever mountain exists in your life, you have the power to cast it in a place where it can be dissolved and disappeared. The key is, will you say it and believe in your heart? And believe in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe in your heart. 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 Somebody shout, I believe. All right, look what he said. Look what he said. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, do what?
Believe.
Do what?
Believe.
Believe what?
Believe.
Believe what you pray and believe what you say. Believe what you pray and believe what you say. I know you don't believe what you say half the time because you say a whole bunch of stuff you don't believe. That dog pastor just tickled me to death. Now, did you die? Quit saying stuff you don't believe, deceiving your heart. Start saying what you believe. Start asking yourself the question. This is where it started with me. I said something and I said, now, do I believe what I just said? I got to start saying what I believe. I got to start saying, every time I open my mouth, it's got to be what I believe. And look what he said, verse 24 again. I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And what'll happen? Believe that you should receive them. And what'll happen? Believe and you'll what? All right, now let's look at some different things Jesus went through here and watch him saying the same thing here. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Yeah, Lord, somebody's got an ulcer that's dissolving right now while I'm preaching. There's an ulcer dissolving right now. It's not dissolving because I said it. It's dissolving because you believed it. We'll see in a minute. Watch this. Matthew 9:27. Look at this. When Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of Man, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. They had to come from the Baptist church. Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that you, that no man know it. You know they didn't do that. They told everybody. What was the requirement here, ladies and gentlemen? Blind eyes. Huh? You know how we do in church? We do everything, try to work stuff up. What Jesus asked one question. What was it? Do you believe? I'm asking you the same question tonight with what you raised your hands up for earlier. Do you believe that the kingdom can supply that need? Yeah, but you're saying that with your mouth. I guess you say you got to start somewhere. It's not a bad place to start. That was a requirement. Do you believe? Look at Mark chapter 1. Verse 15. Read verse 15 out loud together with me. Ready? Read. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He told us to do two things. He said, number one, repent. Change your mind. Change your thoughts. Change your heart. Change your direction. To repent is literally a change of mind. It's a change of the heart, the mind, the direction, to change direction. If you're going this way, to repent means I'm doing a 180-degree turn. That's behind me. I'm going another direction. To repent. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. You're not going to do that without renewing your mind. Set your mind according to the word. He said the kingdom's at hand, so you cannot keep a worldly mindset and expect to reap from the kingdom. You've got to get a kingdom mindset in order to reap from the kingdom. And he told you how to do that. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent, change the way you think, and believe the gospel. Why? Your worldly thinking will contradict the gospel. So it says now, if you're going to believe the gospel, you're going to have to renew your mind. If you're going to believe the gospel, you're going to have to repent from that old way of thinking. Repent and believe. So you and another part, you can renew your mind and still not believe. But your mind's really not renewed, is it? Believe, repent, and believe. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel.
Look at Mark 5.
I was amazed when I saw this church last night. All they needed, the only thing needed to happen is they needed to be stirred up. You know how I am when I come home, I'm like, I see something somewhere, so I'm like, that ain't gonna never happen here. I'm gonna get to stirring. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Now, this is interesting. This is the story of Jairus' daughter who was dead and the lady with the issue of blood, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, verse 34, the woman with issue of blood had just got healed. She was made whole. Now, look at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, his house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. So here's this father coming to try to get Jesus to come to his house. He finally gets to Jesus, and somebody from the house comes and said, that's all right, your daughter's already dead. How many of you know that's enough to kind of just like, oh, man, that's all right, leave Jesus alone, your daughter already dead. And most people say, well, you know, ain't nothing we can do now. Watch what Jesus did. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, look what he said. He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Don't let fear come in. Only believe. Only believe? Are you serious? Nothing else? Only believe? He said, don't be afraid, but here's the thing. Here's the qualifier. Here's the thing that you're going to have. This is the qualifier. Believe. Only believe.
Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother James. Everybody else, I don't know what they were believing, but Jesus said, y'all stay here. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and that's important. Make sure, you know, when you go to some crazy places in the world, you don't want no crazy people with you who don't believe nothing. I don't like just anybody flying with me because, you know, I don't want to have no Jonah thing going on. Something going on with the plane, you like, gotta go, who done sinned? It was me, Jesus. Throw him off the plane. Throw him off the plane. Verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogues and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. All right, now notice, they're coming to the house. Jesus just told this guy, only believe. Now look what the guy's fighting. First of all, somebody from the house said, don't trouble Jesus, she's dead. Then when he finally gets to the house, they carrying on, boy. Oh, Jesus! Ah, la la, my baby. Oh, Lord, have mercy, that was my baby! You know how we can do. Y'all know how we can do. Look what Jesus did. Now, you would think the preacher should be real compassionate, right? Oh, bless their heart. Look what Jesus did. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado? Why y'all carrying on like this? The damsel, the little girl, is not dead, she's asleep. Now they went from crying hard to laughing, verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. Now look what he did. But when he had put them all out, stop right there. When you're working on something, you might have to put some people out. When you're standing on something, you might have to put some people out. When you're in a hospital and the doctor told you you're going to be dead in 2 days, and you're standing on the word and you believe in God, and you got mom and them and ain't somebody and cousin somebody here coming there, you might need to put them out. But let me tell you something. Jesus is still coming into the house putting people out, praise God. And when he put them out, he taketh the father and the mother of the little girl and them that were with him, people of faith, people who will believe, and entered in where the little girl was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. That word arise means to change your posture and change your position. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of an age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And the only qualification for this event, believe. See, you can't tell me you believing and ain't nothing happening. Something wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with God. Ain't nothing wrong with the word. It can't be all this believing. How you say, I believe, and I'm still broke? I believe, and I be dead by the night. I believe, no, and my relationships ain't working. Something the matter. Either you don't know what believing is, or you ain't believing. I didn't come here to beat you up, you know that. I'm working on something. I want something to be different when you walk out of here. I want you to be able to go home and get your bills and put them on the table and say, you know what? I'm tired of, you know, pansing around with you. You finna get up out of here. Now somebody said, well, won't I look kind of stupid talking to a bag of bills? Well, they've been talking to you. They've been talking to you every morning. They've been talking to you. Good morning, how you doing? I plan on growing while you're gone today. See you when you get home by 6.
Now, you need to open your mouth and speak back instead of talking about your mountains. You got to learn how to talk to your mountain, and you got to believe you're going to have what you say. You got to believe I'm getting ready to release some stuff on you. I believe God who sits high and looks low. I am not going to stop. You're not going to change my mind. You're not changing my vision. You're getting up out of here. Now, I'm speaking it right now. No, no more fear. No more sickness up in here. That devil, you're getting out of my house. It's time to be happy. It's time to be full of joy. It's time to be out of lack. It's time to have all the bills paid. It's time not to have no pain in my physical body. And the only qualification for all of that is believe.
Look at John chapter 11. It ain't that hard. It don't take 4 years of seminary school to get this. It's time for us to realize it's time to believe God.
In time you make up your mind, you're going to believe God? See, I've already made my mind. I already told you. You're looking at the first billionaire preacher. I don't care if you got a problem with it. It ain't your money. I'm believing God. All my money coming from the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? The first billionaire preacher. I'm going to buy stations. I'm going to buy skyscrapers. I might even buy a city, somebody else's city, and just let it stay like it is. Just tell them the kingdom own it now. I'm tired of flicking around here and if partners don't get it, that's all right. I believe God.
Now, remember I said that. Well, how can a preacher get up in the pulpit and declare he's going to be a billionaire like this? I'm going to be a billionaire.
But listen, it's not going to be faith until I say, watch this, because get used to it now, because that's the last time you're going to hear it like that. Get you. This is how you're going to hear from now on. I'm a billionaire. See, y'all didn't get it. As long as I'm talking about what I'm going to be. Now, don't look at me crazy because I said that with a millionaire, it happened. It happened. You'd be amazed of the stuff that's happened to me and Taffy since I've been declaring who I am. I'm not going to be limited. Don't look at me and get mad. Get with me. Get with me or get out the way. I'm not going to be limited anymore. I'm taking all the limits off. I've discovered I'm the only one that limit God because I'm limiting him. I'm not going to limit him no more. There's too much power going around here. There's too much anointing flowing around here for us to stay the same. It's time for you to connect with the power. Turn your faucet on. Listen. You can have water. You can have all the water in Atlanta going right by your house. But until you connect with a PVC pipe, you're not going to get access, and it's going right by your house. Yes, sir. We got all this power going right by us, but won't nobody pull out a PVC pipe. Yeah. I'm connected now. Yeah, I'm connected now. And how do you know you're connected? You turn the faucet on, and the water come out. Yes, sir. Now, we can talk this stuff and get theoretical and hermeneutical and homiletical and all them letter stuff. It don't make me no difference. I believe God. I'm going back to the foundation of how I got here in the first place. I'm going back to when I didn't have nothing. I'm going back when they told me I couldn't build a dome debt-free. They told me this. They told me that. Everything they told me, the word of God just went against everything everybody ever told me. I'm rebelling against the kingdom of darkness. I'm rebelling against everything this world's saying I can't have. I'm not moved by recession. I'm not moved by what's happening in the government. I'm not moved by the election. I don't care who's going to be president. It don't make me no difference. God's going to put in the office whoever he want to put in the office. I'm going to operate by the kingdom of God. I pray for the president, but the president ain't sending me no check. I got to stay hooked up to the kingdom. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of depending on government, sick and tired of depending on your mama and them, sick and tired of depending on everything else, then you're going to do what I've done, divorce the world, marry the kingdom of God, and believe. Hallelujah. I'm healthy. See, the only way you won't be saying some of this stuff out loud is you're scared of what people think about you. So now you're going to let people bundle stop you if you're going to fail. I don't care what you think about me. I've been delivered from people a long time ago. I don't care what you, everybody want to be liked. I don't care if you like me or not. I want you to, but I can't do nothing about it if you don't. If you don't, I got to go on and do what the Lord tell me to do. I ain't got time to be kissing up, kissing out. I ain't got time for none of that stuff. Now, y'all forgive me from coming out the pulpit, but I'm coming out the pulpit because I'm telling you all things are possible to him that believe. I'm telling you, you're not stranded for the rest of your life. I'm telling you that you can jack your tie, jack your car up, change your tie, and you can get on down the road. You don't have to be the same as you are right now. You don't have to be the same. You can be healed tonight. You can be delivered tonight. You can have a job by the end of the week. You can be what God wants you to be right now, but you're going to have to believe it. Now, don't send me no letters on that. Don't tweet me none. Don't Facebook me none. I don't read none of that stuff. If a revival is going to start, there's got to be some foolish preaching. Some preachers that don't care about what somebody think about them, they got to just say it. It's time to believe.
Well, that's not a very deep sermon.
You don't need no deep sermon. You're drowning right now. I'm trying to rescue you from your drowning and make it simple tonight. Believe. Go out looking for a job, believing you already got one. Where you going? I'm going to find out what my job is. I already got one. What? Hey, I'm going to find out where my job is located. Going to locate it, get in the right directions, everything.
Now you think, well, that sounds stupid. No, that sounds like faith. Yes, sir. But as long as you ain't going to do it, you can keep doing what you've been doing. And that's insanity. Expecting something different, you keep doing the same thing. Nope. Can't even go in public no more and see somebody sick without stopping. Much power flowing by me, and I'm connected to it, and I got access to it. Dude, I got to pray for you. Can't go by somebody who ain't saved without witnessing to them. Got to stop and say, tell them something about Jesus. They might not get saved, but I'm going to plant something. I'm going to water something. I'm going to do something. No more. No more church plan. This is the way we come to church. Come to church. Pray our prayers. Wave our hands in praise service. And then we leave and cuss everybody out. Amen. No more. No. It's time for the distinction of the people of God to be revealed. You above, you are cut above the rest. The devil's still trying to attack your identity, tell you what you can't do. You need to speak back. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You believe it? You know what? You know what happens when you believe you can do all things through Christ? There's a certain holy cockiness that come over you. You walk up in a place with an assurance. I mean, you pimp up in a place. All right, what's up? You don't even know what's going on. You just know God. God ain't never let you down. I've gone into meetings like that. I've walked into meetings. I didn't have a clue about what I was going to say, but I knew God would supply it. Got up there and sat down. The time I sat down, the answer came. I said it. That was it. And it worked, too. God ain't going to say nothing don't work. It worked. Remember I told you I had a meeting with the president. Went in. And I was ready to have my list and everything. The Lord said, today I want you to learn the vocabulary of silence. I said, what's that? He said, don't say nothing. I kept my mouth closed. I had a friend call me. He kept calling the next day. I finally picked the phone up. I said, hey, what's up? He said, you beat everything I ever seen. I said, what's up? Oh, did you do it on purpose? Did you do it on purpose? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I had all the president's guys calling me, asking
Was Doc mad? What was going on? Why didn't he say nothing? We'll do this for him. We'll do that for him. We'll do that for him. He said, you beat all I ever seen just sitting there quiet and had him eating out your hands, huh? I said, yeah, but I don't want nothing from him. Not a- I believe God. They can keep their money and they can keep the grants. Y'all apply for what you apply for. God's my supply house. Amen. He has been for all these years and he'll continue to be. And all the boys who are trying to get grants and them, they don't even have no facilities no more. They gone. Because I ain't going to be a servant to a man. Yes, sir. And let him get me in bondage. Our campuses are paid for. And can't nobody be telling us what to do. We're not a servant to the lender. We serve God. I believe. I believe I'm healed. I believe I have a job. I believe I have money to do what I need to do. What'd you say you need now? There you go. Just keep your mouth closed. What'd you say hurting on you?
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling kind of better.
No, not even that. I'm not moved by how I feel, good or bad. My faith position, I got it because of what the word said. Did we read John 11 yet? Well, we should have. Verse 38. Look at this. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. This is when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stones. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God?
Do you hear what he said? He said, woman, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory? I'm telling you tonight, congregation. I'm telling you tonight, churches. If you would believe, you will see the glory.
And of course, he raised him from the dead. Acts 27 says something. I love the way it reads here. Acts 27. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 25. This was Paul. They ran into a storm and was shipwrecked, and these guys were freaking out. And he told them it wasn't going to be a loss of life. Look what he said in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. A boat wreck. Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.
That's what I'm talking about right now. That's what I'm talking about. When you get the word of God on it, and when there's circumstances that contradict the word, you got to remind yourself, wait a minute, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God that it's going to be just like he said. I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm prosperous, just like what he said.
When you believe God, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to act differently in line with what you believe. You're going to talk differently in line with what you believe. You're not, listen, when you believe God, you're going to speak what you believe. Even when the pressure comes on, you're still going to speak what you believe.
And there'll be others around you saying, but you know, honey, you know, God is real and everything, but get your big butt out the way. I believe God. You have to, listen, this is the life of faith people. This is how Taffy and I did it. This is what we understand the frustration of Jesus right now. It's like, why is everybody trying to resign from this? Like you're trying to take some new way of doing it. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I believe. I'm going to speak that way. I'm going to show fruit in my action. My mouth is lining up. My actions are lining up. Oh, I believe God saved me. We'll stop sinning. Show the fruit of righteousness. You believe you're saved? If you believe you're saved from sin, why in the world you keep going back to it? Amen. Don't tell me you believe it and you keep going back to it. There's a separation going on, folks. Not sheep and goat, but believers and unbelievers. They're all Christians. They just have an issue with their believing situation. I believe God. I believe God. I'm ready. I believe God. Come hell or high waters. I've canceled all the other options. God is my only source. If the Holy Spirit comes, he will judge us of the sin of not believing on him. Not all of the other stuff you talking about, but not believing on him. Whatever you're going through, will you believe him as your source to deliver you? Whatever situations in your life, will you believe on him to bring you out? I believe God. I remember the first day of this ministry where I was walking out to do the first meeting. And in them days, it was just me and Ken. Of course, I'd have to go somewhere and preach and then beg him, please, man, help me. It's rough down here. I got a grand total number of three. But I remember walking out believing God. And I'd go out to my car, and the car's on E, and my first big meeting was in Griffin. As I had a Methodist church. I stayed at the Holiday Inn there. And I didn't have no gas to get to Griffin. Praise God. He told me to do it. He'll do it. Don't ever let this phrase stop you. Where the money gonna come from? Or I don't have no money versus God told you to do it. If God told you to do it, you move forward. He knows how to pay for it. And so that's what I did. I looked at my clock. I was in church. I said, time to go. This ministry starts today. Praise God. Step out. Go into the car. You can't talk in English when you got no gas. You got to talk in Spanish. Sometimes you just go, Jesus. Lord, help me, Lord. I was about to come to the door. Martha Thompson. Y'all know, how many of y'all know Mama Thompson? Martha Thompson heard from the Lord sitting in church. Ran out to church. She grabbed me. She said, wait a minute. She said, yeah, the Lord told me to give you this money. There's enough money to get me gas down there, take care of the meals for the week while I was down there, and the gas come back. I said, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. We've done that on our airplane, going on tours. Let's do the tour. Let's believe God. We came back from one tour. This was the tour. We went to the European tour. We went to Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Italy, all them places. And, you know, you got to pay fuel. And I took a team with me and had to feed them and put them up in the room and all that. We believe God. It's paid for. It's paid for. You remember in Nigeria, they gave us them big old garbage bags of naira here. And I was like, boy, that stuff don't spend nothing. I mean, you can have three garbage bags, it'd be about $5.
But not only did they give us the garbage bag because we was opening up an office there, but then they came with some American cash to pay for all the fuel and all the rooms. And God just kept doing it. All we had to do was make sure we were in the will of God, doing what we were supposed to be doing. He's taking care of you because he's responsible for financing the trip. When you walk in the will of God. Now, he ain't going to pay for nothing that you came up with. And this is a problem. You come up with some good idea and say, Lord, would you finance it? No, he will have provision for vision. Hello. Not for some good idea. It's got to be a God idea. So if the money ain't there, maybe the vision didn't come from him. It came from you. Yeah. Oh, God healed me. He done healed you 10 times. You keep going back to the same mess that's getting you sick. You won't change your lifestyle. Well, how come I didn't get that car? You got 12. You still hadn't figured out what to do with them. Missionaries need transportation, and you still ain't figured, you just keeping them in a garage somewhere. Ain't bought nobody no car, ain't did nothing. So before you get mad and tell my God didn't do it, check yourself. He want to do some great things for you. Tonight, you can walk out of here healed. Tonight, you can walk out of here with a job. Oh, I ain't gonna have no big prayer. I'm not gonna have no big prayer line, laying hands on folks, getting tired. No, I'm not doing all that. I just got rested and stuff. I'm not doing all that. We just talking about to believe, and you think I'm gonna have a big old prayer line and lay hands on everybody and, you know, be healed. You can do that yourself. You go home, you can do that yourself. Be healed yourself. Lay hands on yourself. Because when I lay hands on people, I know who received and who didn't. Amen. I'm not going to have no hope line. If you don't believe you healed, then you need to get in the Word until you believe you healed. You don't believe you have a job. I'm not talking about, well, I ain't got no job yet. How am I going to say I got a job when I ain't got no job? See, that's what you don't understand how faith people do it. We call things that be not as though they are. You need to walk out of here tonight with a job. You need to walk out of here tonight healed. You need to walk out of here tonight delivered. You need to walk out of here tonight with everything in your relationship going right. Let me tell you something. I have figured this out. I have finally figured this out. You remember when, I'm going to finish with this. You remember in the book of Job, When the Bible says Job prayed for his enemies, and then he got everything back much greater than it was before. But here's the thing that he said. He said, and Job lived 140 years. Some of you are stuck at the tragedy in your life, and there's so much life left, and you stuck right there. So much life left, and you stuck right there. And here's my advice. Here's what I finally learned. Some stuff I couldn't fix, I just got rid of it. Just, well, you know what? I'm just going to leave it alone. It didn't work out really the way I want to work out. I'm gonna just get over it. Turn your name and say, get over it. See, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Some stuff y'all can't get over, and you got all this life in front of you. And the longer you stay stuck with that thing that you don't want to get over, it's just trying to rob you of all that life you got ahead of you. Here's the word of the Lord to somebody. There's too much life ahead of you to stay stuck at that one place. Just get over it. You can either get over it or you can let it kill you. You can either get over it or you can let it stress you so out, mess you up, and mess up the quality of all that life you got left. Certain things I just had to get over. It hurt, but I got too much life. It was a nasty thing, but I had too much life. It was painful. I got too much life. And if you're just gone and live, that little thing, you won't even believe you let it take what it took from you. Walk out of here delivered today. So that means we had a 100% healing service tonight. Amen.
Everybody healed. Folks came in, didn't have jobs, they got jobs. People who came in had no money, got money. Let me ask something. If you want it, if you believe, I believe in God. Amen.